Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We greet you with the greetings of peace, the peace that only Allah can give. And we extend to you our welcome. And we also extend to you our promise that what we try to share will not waste your time, will not be a waste of your time, and it will not insult your intelligence. I think it's very important that I say that because anyone feel like it's me and I got the answers and I'm this and I'm that. That's nothing could be further from the truth. I seek out God's guidance on a daily basis, and I think that I'm trying to recommend that the audience, whether they be Muslims or not Muslims, that we turn to God, and not just like he's there or whatever, but we turn to the thing that he says will help us the most, his word. And then we need to know something about his will, and we need to know something about what kind of work this thing called life is going to have in store for us. Because if you don't know that you don't know, we mentioned this again, then you don't know what you need to know, and you won't do what you need to do because you don't know you need to do it. And whether this sounds like some kind of confusing thing, no, but if you break it down, you know, we don't have the knowledge that we need to live life on life's terms. So we start complaining and we start analyzing life in the dark. We don't have a clear picture of life. We just know things don't seem to be going like we thought they were going to go, or the way they were going back in the day, or the way they were going when I was 16, or when I was younger, when the world was simpler, on and on and on. There is no guarantee that the world is going to wait on us, or time is going to wait on us for that matter. Time moves on. It presses on with or without us. And every time we experience time, there's been a change. It's nothing but it's not the same day, you know. But there is a change, and if we're not aware or conscious of that change, it'll happen, but without our participation. We know something happened. We know it's another day. We know, you know, things are this way, like with the weather. We know this is not quote-unquote normal weather. There used to be summers, winter, spring, and fall. And, you know, summer, winter, spring. Wait a minute, let me get it right. Summer, winter, spring, and fall. Yes, the four seasons. Everybody didn't always have them. Like when I was in Phoenix, there was only two seasons, hot and hotter. So it was always feeling like summer, but it was a dry heat. And then that's the same thing with Florida or the back east. You get a little window there. You get a little summer, and it lets you know it's summer, but you really get winter. And you know you're in a state, city, that's going to have a harsh winter. And we make adjustments accordingly. But I'm saying all that to say this here. Last week, we talked about personal development and growth. So this week, we're going to talk about Islamicized versus ritualized. So once we've grown up and we're starting to realize that we don't know certain things and we need to know, and we go about the business of educating ourselves Islamically or whatever it is that we want to know about. In this particular case, I'm using Islam because if we don't educate ourselves Islamically, we're not going to get the full benefit. Because what we know or knew yesterday, there's a newer, broader, deeper application for that same thing. And here we are just happy to have said the prayer, not understanding the social meaning of the prayer along with the spiritual meaning of the prayer. And if we're being taught in a way that makes us believe that the prayer is ultimate, once you're doing that, that's going to give you a lot of insurance. That's just going to be one of the five pillars, and that's going to be us to the best of our ability and praying to Allah. But also he's asking us not just to get up and go through the ritual, know what it's for, know that you're growing and benefiting like you should, keep the tools that will help you grow and benefit, which is the heart and the soul, intact and purified, which means that each day we come in contact with stuff that could jeopardize the purity and the protection we got from our soul or our heart. When matters need to be done by the heart, the heart is really willing and able, and it hasn't been contaminated to where we're not able to utilize it. Then we have to think about it. The heart needs to be purified and kept pure. The same with the soul. They play a major role in our development and growth, but also a major role in the way that we view the world, the way we practice the worship. So the revelation wasn't revealed to the heart for nothing. It has a role to play. See? So you get revelation coming to the heart, but you get coming to the mind. And they're not the same. See? We can't put the knowledge that comes to the head on the same level as the revelation that comes to the heart. Now, eventually, that revelation is going to make it up to the head, you see, but it's going to have a different role to play than just knowledge, like getting dressed, brushing our teeth, proper hygiene. You know, that's the knowledge that we need. We need to know that how to dress, you know, the way you put your clothes on. We were talking today. We always knew, you know, keep things looking maintained. You know, you shined your shoes. You made sure your clothing were clean. You didn't mix and match and polka dots and stripes and all that. You were conscious of how you looked and how sensible you looked. And some people, you know, as it began to grow, they kept putting dress on us, and we making fashion statements, and we're dressing like this and we're dressing like that. We're trying to be a part of this group and that group, or we're trying to get a job and we go in with the coat and tie or with the dress and, you know, whatever we thought would give us that look. And I'm saying that to say that that's the world of man educating us to what they want us to know. But then when we hear what God wants us to know about the same dress, it's more internal than it is external. See, that heart and that soul is an entity that's not seen, but it is seen when you get your heart and your soul right. You see a different behavior. You see a different glow from the person. You see a different spirit in the person. You see a different attitude as a result of someone who's been working on themselves and working on the areas that yield the best or the most benefit. That purification of the soul is going to do more than what we just mentioned earlier, hygiene, clothing, properly dressed, you know what I mean? Those are foundational, and they definitely play a role, and they definitely allow us to go from there to a much deeper, higher dimension. And then we make sure that we dressed and addressed things the way that Allah wants us to. You know, if you remember the scenario in the garden, they found themselves, or according to the scripture, the way we got it in the Bible, they found themselves in a state of undress. But it's not necessarily nudity. It's saying you're not qualified. You're not knowledgeable in with the science of scripture to not stay out of harm's way, to not get approached, and you succumb to the approach when someone told you that it's okay to do what God has just told you not to do, and you went for it. And that's just the story to describe the vulnerability that we have and the power that we give to a force called Satan or the devil when we don't examine, okay, who's doing the talking, who's making the suggestion, and what did my Lord and Creator just say prior to that? But he's leaving that story there. He's helping us understand that that vulnerability is there at all times because of the deception of the Satan or the devil or however you want to say it. He knows us as good or better than we know ourselves. He knows our vulnerable spots. But God promises us that you won't have any vulnerable spots if you seek my guidance on a regular basis. Not when you get in trouble. Not when you feeling like you need to repent or you did something wrong or you sinned or something. Or you gossiping a little too much or doing things that you know that you shouldn't do. Or if you do, you shouldn't do them on a regular basis. They're harmful in the long run. And they do harm to, like I said before, the heart and the soul. And then there's also to the head. You can be given something in the way of knowledge that's misinformation. You can swear by it or you can benefit from it. Yes, when you can have the lens on to look at it and examine it and give it an examination to see if it holds up to an examination and holds up to be still have a logical conclusion. And the more we go down the road with it, it says this, it says that, you know, it says that, it says this, then we begin to see if it holds up. Like, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Well, that's not sound logic. Emotional logic is saying that you're putting this thing called love over your good sense. Nothing that this person can do can make you turn against them or make you doubt them or make you not trust them because that's how much you love them. And if something is being introduced that you know you shouldn't do, it's premature, like premarital sex or whatever that comes in that category, then you don't examine it. No, this can't be right. She can do no wrong. She's a godsend. She's from heaven. Or he's from heaven. Have same application for the male or the female. Giving them too much power without first examining it with scripture. To love your mate, but to love your mate to the point that you're worshiping your mate. To love your children to the point that you're worshiping your children. Now comes the problem. But we do it unknowingly, most of the time, we think that that's what they should be afforded. And they should be afforded, but in a sober way, in a way that doesn't put them in a position to where unconsciously now, or unintentionally probably is the better word, we weren't doing it. We weren't starting out to do it. We got it misguided along the way. Like you see the society doing. It's trying to embrace their children with their errors and all, with their misguidedness and all. And they do it in the name of love. We do it in the name of love. Though they're struggling with the problem, though they have this misguided identity crisis as far as a gender or whatever, we extend the love to them while at the same time being somewhat confused by the need to do that. And then if you add scripture to it, then we're not confused. We're wondering, how can we explain it to them? Because they're confused. And they're rationalizing what they're doing, and they're not examining it with scripture or taking a scientific approach, that you're actually telling God that he made a mistake. But you're going to right the wrong, and you're going to do better than he did. With a simple statement, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to get all the chemicals that I need to get to make the transformation complete. And we see no problem with us having made us taking a position and taking action that taking a sacred entity called ourselves and changing it supposedly to a better self. That's a major, I have to use words that are physical, slap in the face. But since God doesn't have a face, he's not a physical entity, the terminology is just to get an idea of how offensive that is, though you can't offend Allah because he's not affected like we are. But to take and decide for yourself based on very limited information or very limited experience that you're going to make the change. You've been feeling it, you got hurt the other way, and now you decided to go another way with it. And you got a community of people who are supposedly supporting that effort. But once again, if we have the right lens, if we have the right guidance, we know how to examine that and say, you know what? This does not hold up to sound logic. And we talked about it a little over last week, so we don't want to refresh or rehash it. What we're wanting to say about this week is that if we're being ritualized and not Islamicized, we won't have the tools. We won't have the skills. And what seems to be a minor problem and a minor person that's just confused and will be reasonable with you in the conversation. But if you've got a person who's made the decision, standing by the decision, giving you information that supports the reason that they have taken up such a strong position, and they're not open to any other evidence that's clearer, that doesn't suggest a dichotomy. See? Say that to a God who says, I do good and I only accept good. I know what I'm doing. I birthed you as male or female. I have everything in place for you to be the male or to be the female. The clouds of confusion that are going on, circling around in the society now, can be overcome. And you can clearly see that what I'm choosing as an answer, not only is not an answer, but it makes things worse. It's like jumping from the skillet to the frying pan. Old saying, but a lot of wisdom in it. Why is that occurring? Why are you making matters worse? Because you're not allowing the things that addresses situations that come up, and you want to believe, oh, I'm intelligent enough to know what I'm doing. Yes, in terms of capacity, but we err in our judgment when we rush or we emote before we think. I'm dissatisfied with the male-female relationship. I want to change it to something else. I think I have grounds to do that. And I have the help of the society. They already tell people that what I'm doing is acceptable in their eyes. It may not be morally acceptable, but it's legally acceptable. So I can proceed with that understanding. And I can ask for the same rights and regulations as someone who is not identifying like I am. And that's a big help to Lord. But I'm saying now that the biggest solution is that if we're being Islamicized rather than ritualized, we have answers. We have meetings that we can call. We have counseling that they can seek. Clear out and clear up matters in a way to where they can see the error. Without us attacking them and telling them, astaghfirullah, you're going to hell. No, that's not the solution. That makes it even worse than it was. You don't lie on God and telling people because they're confused and they're making decisions that they shouldn't be trying to make the way that they're trying to make them, that they're going to hell. No, what could be happening, there's nothing in place to help them through it. We could be setting ourselves up for some consequences. If you leave me no other choices, you have no enlightenment that will shed light in my state of darkness, then that's part of the problem. I don't know that I don't know, and I don't know anybody who does know. The ones who say they know, they tell me I'm going to hell. That's not true. There's nothing that suggests consequences. It suggests that Allah is not pleased that you take this position because it's doing what it said. I said it was doing. You are taking a position to say God made a mistake, but you're going to correct it. Just think of that. Just think about it. A process is in place that allows the male and female to be born. Then it allows them to go through the steps for development and growth where they will be a properly educated male or female. And they will be grown up. We say they're grown up. They're mature enough to handle life on its terms. And they're not, but we know that if they're not doing it, they're under the influence of the world of man. And he went from one extreme to the other. He went from where you were hating the gays, going on witch hunts because of the gays, having all kind of offensive and stereotypical names for the gay, for people who were having these issues, and now it's completely opposite. Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. So what has happened? What has happened is that our heads and our hearts have allowed for immoral acts. And so then we try to make amends by almost apologizing and saying, you know, we made a mistake. A mistake's being made, but it's not on not the one that we think. So what happens? The problem doesn't get any better. In fact, it gets worse. And if you keep going back with the problem and the worsening of the problem, it has everything to do with identifying the problem, but not to its roots. We made a statement as if we've identified the problem, which we have, but not to the extent to where we can solve it in a way that the people that we're reasoning with are forced to be reasonable, and they step aside, put their emotions aside and on hold. I really want a solution here. I don't want what I want, and I demand the rights of everybody else along the way. And like I said, I hope you hear me saying, the problem now becomes not the people who are appearing to be the problem or have the problem. The problem is that we don't have what it needs to address it. We look back, totally different situation, but we get the same results because we're comparing and contrast. Compare when this heightened state of illicit Islamophobia was in this country after 9/11. We're to the point to where we asked some sisters to be careful about being in hijab, maybe take it off until the world has sobered up. Here now, some 20 some odd years later, significance of it and all that, da, 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 but people coming out and not fearing and not being threatened and not feeling that they are a threat. And you see the Muslim population just growing and flowing and working and having on the sisters wearing their attire, you know, at the store, and, you know, telling people that they need to be off on Friday. This wasn't present especially during the early times of 911. We have to be concerned with the sister in hijab and all that, et cetera. But look where they are now. Like I said before, they're in track and field. They're taking swords. They went to the Olympics and on and on and on. We're not in a totally heavenly state. People are not just loving Islam, and so people still got questions about al-Islam. That's the need for us to educate ourselves about the religion that we say we believe in. And here's the key that we don't necessarily look at, or we ain't looking at, to improve our da'wah efforts. Part of the education is going to be understanding how to relate and relay how Islam is just an extension of Christianity. The same God that sent Jesus sent Muhammad for the same reason, that we might be enlightened and that we might be getting a better, clearer way of a well-ordered way to live. And one of the main figures that's helping us do that is the Jesus in the book, the Bible. With all its flaws, that it's full of wisdom. Now, wisdom that has to be qualified. But no better book to do that than the Quran. Because that's part of what it was sent to do, correct previous scripture. And it has those four C's. I'm not going to attempt to say them all, but it's there, and one of them is correction. The previous scripture, it corrects the previous scripture, and it fills in the gaps, and it makes us have an understanding that the previous scripture didn't give us, because most of that was taken to be literally. So a lot of the message that Jesus brought has been corrupted, and so it's not a good source of guidance, but it has guidance in it. And if you have an eye, sure, and you recognize with Allah's help that which does have and that which does not have, then you can get along with Christians in a way that you couldn't when you're trying to have an interfaith meeting and your job is to put down the religion of Christianity. We don't have a problem with Jesus and his message. We have a problem with the Trinity and that message. And there's a way to say that without alarming people and thinking that you're attacking the religion, because you do it and you say it in the name of God. And you get the agreement that there's only one God. Now, they have to begin to understand and work out how it's flawed to say there's only one God, but then you say he has a son, and it's in the Trinitarian theory. It goes out there and it gets examined. And in examining what scripture will give you the results that you're looking for, which said we took all that time trying to get it right, and we came to the conclusion. Not all of us came to the same conclusion about whether Jesus was a God or not, or whether, you know, whether we have the Trinitarian going on. Some people don't. And that's what we're saying, that if those same people who do not have it, but there are people who do have it, that's the way to focus them on, that maybe you're making a mistake that the other people didn't make. And it's not me saying that. It's the scripture saying that, and you hearing it by me pointing out, well, what about this here? What is the Bible saying here? It seems like it's saying something very similar to what I'm reading here. And then you do what? Compare and contrast. And then what happens? You get the benefit of something that you weren't benefiting from because of the clarity in one book that's not in the other book. The corruption that's not in one book, but it's in another book. But you also get the benefit of a merciful God who sees that you want to repent and you want to do right, just be right, and you have a concern and an interest in righting the wrong. You want to live your life according to the way Allah revealed it to be live. God revealed it to be live. That's the extent of your worship. It's not just, it's been that way for hundreds of years and it still should stay that way because of tradition. Allah, God, the Lord, how you say it, Jehovah, Yahweh, has made it clear, shed the light to take us out of the dark. That the creation is intentional, and when we're intentional about it, we get the benefit of it, and we don't end up doing things that are unintentional, which is our state of ignorance. We do things with the intent of serving our law, serving God, being of the law, a slave servant that serves humanity. But the way you look at what's going on now, one group is benefiting while the others are being misinformed, and it's to the advantage of the people who are benefiting. So readily you can see what the problem is. They're not wanting to give up the present teachings in the Bible that may have become distorted because they're benefiting. They're taking this thing called Christianity the way it is now all over the world, and they turn their attention to the people who look the most like Christ. And they've taken this microphone and taken the stage, and they've planted themselves to say, see, look at our success. Look what God has blessed us with. Look what we're the only superpower in the world. We do. And every day you see that particular theory or that particular statement, it's not true. The minute you pick up your newspaper and see all the problems in this world and no solutions from this world are coming anytime soon. I looked at the fire that place in Canada, and as I began to examine it, why it's bad and why it's taking such a toll on Canada. And it seems to be that the last time they look at, you know, fire hazards and whatnot, they realized that the budget that they had for it wasn't enough, and they should have more in case something that happens like it's happening now. But the other thing that didn't get happened, and this is all under the heading of when you have God's guidance, you do the right thing. When you see it appear, and you don't put it off, or you don't say, well, we don't have the money. No. When you realize the problem that it could cause by not doing it, you find the money. You find the ways and the means to get your country in a position to not be ravaged the way it's been with proactive, preventative approach. But anyway, let's go look at this a little, examine this a little bit further. So what happened was, when you read behind, read a little bit of the story, man. So they didn't have the budget right. It was, I mean, way short of what it should have been. They were not used to getting fires in a certain portion, north or south. I forget which one it was, east or west. But they got them in both areas this time. But the problem wasn't that they got them. The problem was they didn't have the money to address it. They didn't have the tools and the skills in that part of the country because they never have them, especially to this extent. So you got a people that got caught off guard because they weren't expecting to get it. And then when they did get it, they didn't have everything they needed to put it out. So it really ravaged the country. So what does that sound like? Man having knowledge, but not having guidance. And then getting the guidance that he did have and not applying, ignoring it. That bridge, when we get to it, we'll be all right. We'll make it through a couple of years here, and then we'll address it. But 1 year becomes 2 years, and 2 years becomes 5 years, and 5 years become 10 years. And next thing you know, you have a massive destruction at the door because of lack of planning and lack of what's the word? Being proactive. You thought you were so big and so powerful that you thought it would never happen. So you don't think about the unthinkable. Book. That's a book. Thinking about the unthinkable. Where is that born from? It's born from God is in charge. He's making it known to me that I've got a potential problem. Let me act on it and then involve him to bless me to know what to do about it. The resources are here. I'm just not applying them properly. And I'm saying I can't afford it. But yet still, I'm doing things that may not be as beneficial. So what do I have to do? I have to prioritize. So what is this saying? Like just for countries to hear this? No. We have to hear this as individuals. Because the individuals eventually make up the country. See, so what do we have to have? We have to have an informed citizenry. And what's the information that they need? They need to have what we have to say as a community, but they need to have access to the Word of God. Since God is the one who's putting us over and being in charge of this, he said he's going to make a khalifa in the earth. That's a keeper of it. That's to keep up the standards, keep the balance, which is very important. The balance has to be maintained. We must have a balanced approach between spiritual and social. In this country, in a lot of the Western countries, or just countries in general, the emphasis is on the material. The decisions are made based on the material. So our logic is lost because we say if we don't see it, we don't do it. If we can't see it, we don't believe it. Okay? But when you examine life with scripture, you see, if not the first time, multiple times of looking, you see that the seen is more powerful than the unseen. And that we use the seen to uncover the seen, the unseen. That's the process. That's the how we benefit from it. It's not there to trick us or to outsmart us. No. We talked about this before, and this is true then and it's true now. The extent of our problems will always be human problems. There are no problems that overshadow us as human beings. We come together, we work together, and we solve the problem. Whether it's literacy, food, clothing, and shelter, recycling, whatever it is. They've actively changed a lot of things. Or just our diet. I'm not saying they totally answered it, but the plant-based diet, you know, is an effort to realize that meat, as we know it, and some of the meats that we're eating, is not the best source of protein. And some other things that we're realizing, the way that it's slaughtered, it's not a way that takes out the impurities that you get a good kosher or halal meat because it hasn't been slaughtered with that thought in mind. What's been slaughtered is to get the meat out there on the market so we can feed the public that's hungering for beef or chicken or, in this particular case, pork. Supply and demand. And when the demand reaches over the supply, you got a problem. And so you start people GMO, steroids to make for speed of growth, all in the name of citizenry's grown, so we got to feed the public, and da 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 da. But if we were in tune with the scripture, we would look for a solution that actually addresses the problem. feeding this citizenry GMO, genetically modified stuff, stuff that's been increased the length of time that it grows with steroids and whatever, it's not a problem. You're giving me a problem when I eat that stuff. It's got stuff in it that shouldn't be in there. And stuff that you didn't get out when you slaughtered it, because the blood carries all of the impurities and stuff, and they lock up in the veins when you slaughter the way that they slaughter. You don't calm the animal down that you're getting ready to slaughter. Make him, or make that entity where it's conducive to being calm and calm down, and slaughtered in a way where they bleed out and they. It's also merciful. So that whole I have to be a vegetarian or a vegan and don't eat that because at all times this is happening. It's a natural check and balance. What we call death, what we call something right now, molecules of oxygen are being used. But it's the whole process, the oxygen, the carbon dioxide, all that's working. Once you understand the checks and the balances and how that works and how it's a natural process and how it's there, and when it's done properly, it does what it's supposed to do, checks and balances. And it keeps the balance. The law of the jungle is there in place so that the predator thing that we think we see is simply a check and a balance. You don't see the animals ever guilty of genocide to the point to where there aren't any more of whatever. They don't eat up. They don't slaughter. You know, while one is getting killed, another one's getting born to keep the supply there. Man is the one who messes up the global warming and there's not enough of this or not enough of that. In the jungle, it's already just want to get enough meat, feed the family. Da, 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 da. He doesn't go on a campaign to eliminate all of the deer or all of the giraffes or whatever. No. So that won't happen. The natural thing that's happening is a check and a balance. But when we start comparing and looking at the animals as if, oh, it's just bloodthirsty, terrible, woo, woo, woo. No. The problem isn't with them. The problem is with us. With our inhumane, unbalanced thinking as we move forward with so-called progress. There's a lot of problems that people are having that's induced by what we eat. So you get the food and process in a way where it's not healthy anymore. It's put on the market or it's in a container. Man has shown he's not been wise about the containers he's been putting stuff in. Now all of a sudden, he's telling everybody, you know what? Plastic is a problem. Styrofoam is a problem. Why is it a problem? Because when you introduced it into the society, you didn't think about the human being who was going to be getting the side effects of the ingredients. Now you rush back out. Tell everybody about the problems that styrofoam is causing ecologically and health-wise and whatever. And you provide me on it, put me on a diet that later on I have to get off of that diet because it was whatever. And you use sugar, taste a certain way, just so that people will buy it and they will enjoy the taste of it. But you've corrupted the product, processed and put in all these chemicals to, one, to do shelf life, secondly, to have me addicted. And to take certain chemicals off the market. Just like nicotine that's in the cigarettes and stuff. The caffeine that's in the coffee. It's all problematic. So you accomplish two things. You sell the coffee, and then the person who drinks the coffee, the way we drink it, for the reason that we drink it, the caffeine is not giving them a problem. The nicotine that's in the cigarette is not giving you a problem. And a lot of other chemicals that they've since kind of looked at or told us to look at that cause us to season differently because it's of the addictiveness and the harmful thing that is causing because the saturation of something that's not healthy. And then when they get too big of a problem, then they tell you, well, yeah, maybe we're eating fatty, cheesy, greasy food too much. It tastes good to us, but it's not good for us. Especially when it begins to put our body in a state of having visceral fat. And if you listen to what I'm saying now, I'm not talking about science and da-da-da-da-da. I'm saying the education that we need to have that can be provided only by scripture is not present. Therefore, people who are doing this, they're doing it without a conscience. It's not bothering them. They're all concerned with the bottom line. And what changes that? Properly educated scripture. Now you can judge people different if they're being properly educated and it's available for them to get the education and they're still doing it. Now we got a problem. Now we can bring up that and bring the trial and bring up people who are aware, but they diabolically are just doing it anyway. They're doing the same thing that we talked about earlier. I'm going to take the will of God and I'm going to do it better and I'm going to do it my way. And it's going to be good or better. And it's also designed to eliminate certain people. Only the strong will survive. Part of their civilized thinking, you know. If you're not able to control yourself and you bring about all these problems for yourself, well, shame on you. You know, but it's just clearly showing or in their thinking and in some of their books that that's your fate because you're not chosen. You're not, you know, you just got, what is it, theory of selection and all that. That there are certain people that are getting certain blessings because they're the chosen ones. Whereas the other ones, they're getting headaches and heartaches and illness and sickness. As more, and they say it has more to do with who they are versus what's happening to them. And it's being promoted. And people don't have a problem with it in the higher echelons and the thinking that these people, and still, you know, not to bring up an insensitive issue that will provoke to anybody, but, you know, it's still in the Constitution that we're three-fifths of a human. How are you going to expect to get equal treatment when you're not considered an equal human? And there's a lot of people who are hanging on to that. They may not promote it, but they benefit from it. And the way you negate it is you elevate your thinking to where it doesn't matter what they do. What they do is their problem. Our problem or our challenge is to civilize the world, shed light into the darkness that's in the world, bring the knowledge that's in scripture that's intended for the human being out and make it available so that they can make conscious choices. You know, they have this thinking that it's you know, with the cause and effect and with the either or and not recognizing that it's and both. It's not, there are scenarios where it doesn't have to be a winner and a loser. There are situations where it's a win-win situation. More than we think. We don't look for it. when you look for it, it can be a win-win situation. We talked a little bit about it when it comes to marriage. Well, his and her necessarily, I mean, it's probably a little romantic and it's cute, but it also challenges the we. It draws a little invisible line and it starts to begin to make a little crack between the couple. But we and us, you know, should be a dominant verbiage. But a lot of times the individual's needs and wants and desires are put out there, and in the name of love, we're supposed to accommodate that and accommodate the thinking that's really saying it's all about me. And where does that come from? That come from, in the sense of it's getting out there and becoming a problem, because it's we're in the dark. So we take it hook, line, and sinker, and we promote it that we want you to marry us, and we want to marry you, and we want to have this unconditional love. It defies the logic that we have to have when we're living life. You know, the song said, if you love somebody, it's good when they love you back. And it says, 50-50 should be there, not 70-30, 80-20. So what becomes a solution? Scripture, once again. If you love the Creator, which in turn teaches you how to love yourself, then you will do attractive, healthy things in the name of the Creator, and keeping the Creator the one that you worship, the one that you turn to, the one that you bow to, the one that you seek guidance from, so that the marriage that you have and the family that you have and the children that you have and the money that you make and everything you do, we do in life, with God's guidance. He shows us how to stay out of extremes. He shows us how not to let the money control us, to let the car control us, to let the house control us, to let the children control us, to let the wife control us, to let the husband control us. He shows us how not to let that happen. We only control and change the things that we can. And that's very attractive. The woman has a role to play. The man has a role to play. The children have a role to play. The jobs have a role to play. And when they help us to grow physically, professionally as well as personally, that's when it works best. Not to choose between the wife and, the wife and the job. We don't have to work so hard. We're workaholic and we don't have time to tend to the needs of our family. And what we try to do to make up for that fact is provide them with a certain lifestyle because we're making a certain amount of money. You can't buy love and you can't buy children who you want to be orderly and reasonable and intelligent, you know, and the intellect is developed the way they can be intelligent. You want that from them. And it's not just to hold a job. You look at the people today and you look at some of the leaders, I guess you could say, the people that we look to for as a role model. They're dropping the ball. I won't mention any name, but you got an individual, top celebrity, married three times, 9 children, you know, and just all kind of problems personally, but they're a billionaire professionally. So where's the role model that you got? You got an individual who's accessed a lot of money, a lot of power, and a lot of people see him as a role model because of material success. And the same is true with women. There's a lot of women out there that are wealthy. I won't name names. And they're being applauded for their wealth, and they're in the news and you follow them and you know learn what they're doing. And you see, they're making a mess out of their lives, and they're not good role models, not because they have money, but because of what they're doing to it and what the image that they're showing. They're giving marriage a bad name. They're giving raising their children a bad name because they aren't raising their children. They're thinking that I got enough money now, I can afford any kind of lifestyle I want, and I'm not thinking about the social ills. This last person that went on the shooting spree, he came from some house. He came from some family. He's around some community. He's a product of the culture that he came from. And we are the people who have this problem, and we don't know how to solve it. We thinking that if they just take the guns out of people's hands and don't let them get access and what the gun can't shoot themselves by themselves. The guns can't do anything without ammunition. So somebody goes and gets the gun and the ammunition, and they wreak havoc on the community or on the world by killing up a bunch of people. And maybe even they get themselves killed, so we don't even know why they did. We look and go back to their house or on the computer, and we see that some extreme thoughts or somebody did something back 20 years ago or 15 years ago, and he is still bothering him, and he's got all these pent-up emotions, or she got all these pent-up emotions, and they need to be expressed. And they think no better way to do it than to get revenge. Can you have this great thing called life? You live it, you contribute, you learn how to be a good human being, a loving, caring, thoughtful human being. You come from a family setting and a community setting where the people around you have that same mindset and same spirit and same attitude. You're going to have a little peace on earth. You're going to have a little heaven on earth. You're going to have model communities. But you're not going to have so-called model communities where people thought, I never thought that would happen here. He was such a good boy. She was such a good girl, always smiling, but at the same time, harboring on the dark side some kind of problem that was going on that wasn't being addressed, that they didn't have answers to. And when they finally thought they had an answer, it was go back and get it, go back and do it, go back and wreak havoc on those people who made you feel that way, who did those terrible things to you, that you don't understand why. You have no answers to it. And you finally come to the conclusion is to make them suffer in a way that you suffer. And then you have the cinema or the media taking that same story and putting it on the streamer or on the TV or whatever, and exposing us to something that it can't be considered entertaining, but that's how they market it, that's how they package it. You're seeing a story based on true events. So you're seeing how crazy people can be, and they are becoming because of the environment and society that they live in that teaches them to take matters in their own hands, and violence is not overlooked. And because they have access to all these computers and things, they can get pretty skilled and pretty sophisticated, like the one program I was watching the other night. This techie guy who was mad at the world decided to have a website that had global proportions to it, and you could get on there and you could order a hit or revenge or punishment or whatever. No communication. You just get on there and tell them what you want. Make arrangements. They'll make arrangements to get the person paid, and they had a business. And they said, before we watched it, that it was based on true facts, true events, that there must have been somebody who was doing that, but they found him shut him down and prosecute him and put him in jail or whatever. But just like going to the store, somebody, supply and demand, saw an opportunity to issue hurt into the lives of people because other person had been hurt and they was had enough customers who said, I want revenge. I want you to feel the hurt that I felt when you said what you said to me or when you did what you did to me. And not say life is too short, not move on with the pain, not heal from the pain, payback. And then once it starts, it has a life of its own. You talk to somebody at work and they tell you about this crazy thing and next thing you know, you got ideas to do something to somebody because of what they did to you. And they're telling you, hey, that's right. You can make them pay. You don't have to be the only one suffering in this thing. You can make them suffer. And the way the human being is built in terms of our mental and our spiritual and our physical, if we get your attention, we can convince you that it's okay. You're just paying them back. No harm, no foul, or, you know, just a little bit of pain or a great deal of pain. Not taking their lives. And sometimes they had contracts you could take lives, but the whole premise was that they're not getting away. And that type of revengeful thinking is addressed with Scripture. In the Bible, it tells you, talked about turning the other cheek and forgiving and, you know, and don't make a mountain out of a molehill. And then the prayer of serenity, I mean, that was a beautiful prayer, still is, talks you out, down and out of anger and hatred or jealousy and all that stuff. And it tells you what to do. And if we're wise, we take this wisdom and begin to apply it and see that it works. I got back in touch with my senses, got back in touch with reality, and I no longer want to dish out any pain to anybody because I was temporarily hurt down to the bone. I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life, or I thought I had made some friends, or I wanted to make some friends, or I got bullied and wanted to be a part of the group that was doing the things that I like to do, and they rejected me and kicked me to the curb. But it shouldn't turn us into monsters or people who will seek revenge by any means necessary so they can experience the same pain that you experienced. Get over the pain. It's not permanent. It's temporary. Get over the people who did it. You don't change them by hurting them or joining them, because two wrongs don't make a right. So as much as you're tempted to do wrong to them in the same manner that they did wrong to you, you have the wisdom in Scripture that says, no, you can't do that. You can't affect them that way without joining them. And when you join them, you're joining the club that says two wrongs can make a right. You're rationalizing, I got hurt, so therefore I'm going to let you experience the same hurt. Because obviously you didn't care about me, you rejected me, and you led me on from the beginning, and then all of a sudden it changed and you decided you didn't want to be with me anymore. And you broke it off. And now I see you with somebody else. At a short period of time, 2 weeks later, a week later, which made me believe that you were already had spoken with them and had it lined up, and you led me on for 2-3 more weeks, and then you dropped me. And some of that's true, but the problem becomes, what do you do when it happens? With this understanding around the frame of what you're going to do to answer the question, how much time do you have to spend on people our own problems like that. Life is too short. Undergo pain, hurt, suffering, and let it linger to the point that we become damaged goods. You let the hurt grow unaddressed. You let the pain feel over and over again. Getting help, and instead of healing, you walk around hurt. And the time goes by, and the months go by, and the years go by, and that same hurt that's now 8 years old, 10 years old, is just like it was yesterday. Because it's just like somebody who had the scab came, it got hard, it was healing up under the scab, and we picked it off before it healed. We re-engaged the hurt and didn't let it go through the full process. Didn't let the scab do what the scab was supposed to do. Re-injured the injury because we didn't have patience with the process. It's temporary. It's not the end of the world. Go to scripture and get what you need to help the body or help the mind or help the soul or help the heart heal. That's the beauty and the wisdom of God's creation. He has it all here for us to get and get access to, and we just have to have the belief that it's true and then the intelligence to act on it. Don't let that memory linger to the point to where it can be 10 years ago and it's just like it was yesterday. And you have access to, like I said before, something that can get you healed and moving on with life, with your life, because it's too short. It doesn't heal to hate. It doesn't heal to stay locked in the past with the hurt. It doesn't benefit, especially when you have the ability to move on. So I'm going to move on from that. I'm going to get ready to conclude here in a minute. But I hope we get the general gist of what's being said. And that is, 773, I see you. That is that education, and be more specific, an Islamic education is what we need, and it's what the world needs, because when we have the answers, solutions, I mean, we have the problems of the magnitude that we have now, we need deeper solutions. We will recognize that the weather is just like life feels right now. It's very unpredictable. You don't see some things happening or why they happen. There is the need for us to read the book about thinking about the unthinkable. Tomorrow, am I equipped? You know? A death in the family, what does it do? Does it devastate me, or do I lay the person to rest and give them a dignified funeral and then remember them, you know, in their absence and say to myself that they're in a better place? Because they are. The hereafter, when you hear it described, when you hear it talked about, when you have to even say it, very challenging. What does that mean? There, in the Jannah, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a lot of work involved, an ongoing thing. And after that, we pray Allah, or God, that He has forgiven us and He will grant us that reward. And when we needed to do it, and we were guilty of these things, we repented, we got redemption, and we got a blessing from Him that our intentions were this, and they got tangled all up, and we did that. But you ask for forgiveness, and you promise, or you get the skills, hopefully, to not let it repeat itself. And the intent to go through life doing the same thing over and over, we've said it again, I'm going to say this last time, is too short to get hung up on a little petty stuff when you can grow up and see the big picture and see that the reward comes to those who have the bigness to work their life and healthy enough to get those rewards. Get away from people who want to drag you down, who want to put you down, who want to fill your heart with a bunch of hate or hurt. And then, you know, the old misery likes company. They're there to be around you to y'all have a mutual opportunity to have a pity party. And then when you get through, what have you done? No, you wasted time, precious time. So enough of that. 773, let me get you on here and see what you have to say.
Assalamualaikum.
773-449. Walaikum assalam.
Oh, you know, when I listen, I just can't help but commenting. I can see what Allah has truly blessed you with a conversation and communication that reaches the soul. I just wish that more people could be privileged to your conversation, and I'm going to do what I can to get links out and get people on this line, because this is the kind of conversation that will transform your life, right down to what you was initially saying about our prayer and our worship and our understanding, because even a lot of us as Muslims, we just go through the motion, but we really don't understand the properness of how to worship and how to really get to know Allah through his provisions, his word, his way, and his will. And so we wonder why we don't have success. And you just, Allah has just blessed you in such a, to speak in such a way that it so resonates, you know, from that point to everything that you be saying is a conversation for to transform life. And I remember some of these conversations and growing up, that's why I can be so attached to when you say things, because I've heard it maybe in a different way, but I know that it's a reforming conversation. It's an empowering conversation. It's an inspiring conversation. And what we need more than anything now is for our lives to be transformed. And it is not only just about religion. It's about a natural way of living life that Allah created us to be. And we some of us, we so far off the mark, not intentionally, not maybe intentionally, but because we don't know that we don't know. And if we did, it would make a difference. So conversations like this, I value, because it reaches my soul. And if we connected with our soul, then it should reach other people's soul too, because Allah bless you to say the right things, you know, in your communication. So I have to keep acknowledging you, you know, when I hear what Allah has blessed you with, you know. And like I said, I'm going to do everything I can to get people on your program, because this is a message that needs to be heard. It just really is. And I'm just sorry that not many people call in to be privileged to it. So I just want to acknowledge you again, you know. I know I get out here and say a mouthful, but I just feel it in my soul.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. And thank you. You know, but like I said before, and I have to acknowledge that Allah is bigger. He is the focus. And I'm just trying to be a little humble servant and try to say it right, get it right, and say it in a way where people can benefit. And you know, it helps to be from a generation. We're in the same generation, so we can relate to different things and how it was said and what it was said and what it meant to us when it was said. I mean, my parents, and I can hear it in you, about your parents and where you were raised, they raised us to do right, make them proud, go 10 times harder if we had to get whatever we needed out of life, and sometimes that's the way it is. And it made us, even though we were products of tough love, it made us resilient enough to go through what we got to go through to get what we want and realize that there is a God, and he does help us when we have needs and when we call on him in sincerity. You know, that's just the way that it is. And every day we get proof of that.
Yes, sir. That's right. You know, and when he used people as vehicles like you and some of the other believers, and it resonates with our soul, and we so can appreciate it, and we want for our brother and sister what we want for ourselves. So we have to acknowledge them to give them inspiration, not to say that to keep going, because they're going to do that anyway, because they they're here to serve Allah, but just to know that they appreciate it, I think it makes a big difference. It just really makes a big difference. So
yeah.
Always
Alhamdulillah, call. You're right. You're so true.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you again. May Allah continue.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, well, we said a little bit, and hopefully that some of it will impact you in a way that makes you stop and take a look. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff going around, and if we're not careful, we just see this bad stuff, and it's terrible time. No, Allah is bringing about a change in the people, and some of it is consequences. You can't do certain things without consequences. If you drink too much water, you know, you might, and it's too cold, you know, that's a problem. You know, you might cause for yourself. You're drinking too much coffee, and you're putting too much sugar in it and cream in it, like I do. Eventually, that begins to take its toll. If you're exercising and if you're studying the Quran and you're trying to get the verbiage and get the pronunciation and get the meaning and get the application, you're going to benefit greatly. Your consistency is going to help you in a way that a person who's not consistent, they on again and off again and this and that. If you consistently listen and consistently acknowledge Allah for bringing you to the program and keeping you there on the program and listening and waiting to hear what you need to hear, if we stay with whatever we believe in, we will hear what we need to hear coming from somebody else. And it will come in agreement with what we are. And that said it. That's what I'm talking about. And next thing you know, you heard what you needed to hear. It was like giving you a permission slip to move on it in a way that you were thinking about moving on it, but now it's confirmed point that you are going to move on it, and you are going to do that. You are going to write that book. You are going to be a better Muslim. You are going to let your education be known. You are going to be the one who say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. See? Not to bring about jealousy, not to bring about look what I know and look what I got, but in hopes that somebody will be needing what you have to share, and when you share it, it resonates with them in a way that maybe I couldn't get them to see. But it took you, whoever you are and whoever your circle is, for you to get it, and then you share it with them, and then they get it. And isn't that the way it happens? Each one reach one. Each one teach one. That was the moniker. It was good then, and it's still good now. See? But just make sure you educated yourself in a way and making your intentions to be Abdullah. I don't want them to get to thinking, I got this, or I know this, or I do that. I'm simply wanting to let them know there's a light on in the world today, and we're obligated for those who know much, much is required. So I take the obligation, you take the obligation, and you reach out to people and see if there's any interest in knowing some things about life, looking at life in a way that they haven't been looking at it, and maybe making a difference in this place we call the world, life in someone's life and in life in general. Because that's what will happen. When you decide to make your life and live your life for Allah, then Allah will open up doors and open up ways and means to do that. And believe me, the richness and the wealth that can come to that, nobody's check or nobody's money or your money or their money will make a difference. To help another person save their lives, enrich their lives, bring worship and God into their lives. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that can compare to it. You know, and you know that you were a part of that, giving all praise and credit to Allah, but knowing that you wanted, this is what you wanted, the way Allah is instructing you. And when you're able to do it and you see the results, you see the person being healthy, and you see the changes, and you see the glow coming on their face that used to be either the dear light, dear love, the way people look when they, you know, that look that you have, sort of a lost look, deer in the headlight. That's what I'm trying to say. Look, and it goes away, and a wrinkle on the forehead, it goes away, and you know they're getting it, and you know that it's not you necessarily. Like I said before, one day you're gonna go, one day they're gonna go, but they don't go without hearing something that makes them realize the truth is here and it's here to stay. So stay tuned, stay on top of what's going on in this Imam W.D. Muhammad radio blog. I'm just trying to hold up the flag on Mondays, but there's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays of programming that's equally as good as this. They do an excellent job. I make it my business to tune into the programs, and my brother and friend, Brother Mark, we get together and we get to talking and we get to coming up with strategies and things and things that hopefully simplifies a very complex things and makes you want to explore some more on your terms and your time and see what Allah has in store for you, because he does. You know, my blessing is not going to be your blessing is not going to be my blessing, but there's plenty of blessings to be found, to be had, to be gotten, and Allah tells us, as I conclude, he gives without counting. So our job is to make sure we know what counts instead of counting. I'm going to say that again. Know what counts instead of counting. How many people are doing it? How much money can I get after I do it? None of that counts. What counts is don't wait for the numbers to rise. Don't wait for your money to stop being funny. You know? Go forward with what you know what you know and share it and see if it falls on fertile ground. And if it does, people will wake up and start getting it on their own. They won't necessarily need you or rely on you. Or if they do, they have an association with you because they hear what they want to hear. They have a diet and an appetite for what you have for. So they're your kind of people. I like you because I'm like you. I like you because I'm like you. Birds of a feather flock together. Same thing. It's all there. What happens is us identifying it for what it's worth. Some of that is just rhetoric. People just talking because they can. Others are talking because they have wisdom. They know it's wisdom, and they share it like it is wisdom. Wisdom don't have no expiration date on it. It don't have no sell-by writing on the side of it. It's powerful then, and it's powerful now. And that's the way it is, because Allah does that. He chooses the things and the words and the language that will help his creatures to become our best selves. And then those things that we do, like she was mentioning, is transformative, but it's also transcending. It never has a expiration date on it. In fact, it gets better with time. The more you use it, the more you understand that this is rich, wealthy, healthy dialogue or conversations. The more, especially now, we need so much. There's so many people in the world that are confused, they're fearful, they're injured, it's been painful, and this is an opportunity to get the fear out and get the pain out and get on with life the way it is. It's a rich, full, beautiful thing when you do that. And it's just waiting for someone to get your inheritance, to make the embrace, to give yourself the permission slip, to get a piece of the pie or even get your own pie. That's what it's waiting on. It's there. It's plenty to go around. There's plenty that life has to offer. What are you looking for? And keep looking for it. And don't be satisfied once you get it. Get enough so that you can share it with somebody else. So I greet you with the greetings only Allah can give. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you. Be pleasure for you to be on today, and we hope to see you soon. And we look forward to seeing you and hearing you. Aha, 314. Sneaked up on me there. Let me let you come on in here and get some of this here. So we want you to state your name, where you're calling from, and what is your comment?
Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listeners, IWDM Radio. This is Mark Shahi from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks belong to Allah. First and foremost, always, I was just waiting in the wings here and just enjoying what it was that I was able to hear from you. And, you know, when he was talking about counting, of course, it brought up, I think, a gold nugget coming from the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali when he was stripped of his title and was not allowed a boxing license. He actually took care of his family by going across the country lecturing. And one of the things he said I thought was so very profound was he said, don't count the days, but make every day count. Don't count the days, but make every day count. And then that follows up to something that you said a little earlier, Imam Pasha, in terms of the feeling that you get, the elation, the happiness, the glow that you get when you use as a medium or as a servant of God and working on behalf of God's cause. It took me to the Quran in Surah Asr. And simply put, Allah, and I call that the success surah of the Quran, where God says, you know, by the gift of time. Time is a gift, and we don't know how big a gift that we actually have, but by the gift of time, surely the human being is at loss or a loser, except, now these exceptions are very important because it actually touches on something that you said a few minutes ago, except for those who have iman, those who have faith, that's first and foremost. You're not going anywhere without faith. You most certainly will be lost or a loser without faith. That's first and foremost. But Allah follows it up with performing righteous deeds. So you were speaking about the servant in terms of sharing and giving, you know, so you can have faith, but you have to see a reality of how strong that faith is. Well, so when you perform righteous deeds, this shows, hey, I really do have faith. You perform in righteous deeds because remember, you are medium. You are servant. As Imam Muhammad say that you work for God. Your cause, your life is for the serve God in terms of what he has given to you. And what it is that if he's giving you much, then you should be seeing yourself and giving more. So performing righteous deeds, then what comes after that? And then joining in the mutual teaching the truth. Well, I mean, you know, everybody has something that it is that they can give and supporting the truth. Even if they can't articulate it as well as Imam Pasha, they have to support the mutual teaching of truth. You know, in other words, it's your little light, but you got to let it shine. You got a little light, okay, but you got to let it shine. So you give that truth because this is what makes the person glow when they see that they have helped to liberate. They have helped to liberate the one that is incarcerated in terms of their misunderstanding, misconception, misunderstanding that leads to many mistakes. You know, so Al-Islam-based conversation, actually in terms of having this conversation, this communication, dissemination of correct information, helps in the liberation of those in terms of incarceration. It helps to free. It helps to free the mind. It helps to free the the soul of the person, the spirit of the person, in terms of having that which Almighty God would have us to have. Now, these first three things, Then it's two more. It's five. Once again, five. And so the last two actually are required to be able to have the first three so that we don't be lost and won't be a loser. You know, we'd be the right chooser of what it is that we need to have. So then God says, and who have patience and constancy. So patience and consistency, even though we don't see things as we would like to see them or the numbers or all of that, but the patience and the constancy, the consistency in terms of keeping the faith, don't lose the faith, and also in terms of the performance of righteous deeds. You know, don't give and be looking for something to come right back. Let Allah, He's that decides what it is that you get for what you do. He's the sole master of the day of judgment, Maliki Yawmi Din. So don't you be the judge and say, I know I should get this. Don't do that. You know, just do the good because you're working in God's cause. So whatever, and Allah says that nothing escapes His vision, nothing. He knows everything. There's nothing you can do. Even before you do it, He knows it. And then finally, enjoying the mutual teaching the truth. All of us have an obligation to do that. And don't be concerned if you don't see, as Allah had freed his messenger by saying, just make it clear. In other words, make the message clear as the results. You're not responsible for the results. You know, leave that to me. You know, and those who have a heart, who accept God's instructing sign of His message, you know, Allah says, this is what the consequences will be. This is what you will receive. And those who reject God's message, then this is the consequences for those who reject. I could say more, but I think I said enough. And I just want to say how much I appreciate you and what it is that you bring here to IWDM Radio each and every Monday in terms of ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation, because we have conversations all the time with a lot of different people. But if we are Muslim or we are Mu'min, a believer, ask yourself, is it Al-Islam-based conversation? And maybe we need to change the conversation, the communication, so we can get the correct information. I'll stop there. May Allah continue to bless you and us. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome to Allah. Thank you again, brother. I appreciate you. You know, that's one of the joys, like he said before, when you communicate with people who appreciate your communication and you appreciate theirs. It's a different kind of conversation. And happy to be a part of it and happy to be alive and enjoying it and also sharing it. I mean, it's like he was saying, and I'm saying too, it's a good feeling to know you have something that's really worthwhile, especially when before you was kind of borderline stuff that you had, and you know, you knew this and you know that, you know how to go to this, you know how to get over there, you know how to be over there, you know what to do when you got over there. It's a little different. You're not always welcome. You're not always happy. People are not always going to be happy to see you because you ain't got no foolishness for them. But to be able to have something even better than that, it's a good feeling. It makes you feel good. And we talk about this, and it's very true. The alarm clock may get you up, but being able to get up and wake up and rise and shine, you know, up and at them, you know, those are the kind of things that are, They go to do this here. This is another little maxim that's been born from being in this community. Is you know, they talk about being in the moment. When you live from moment to moment, each moment that you transition, like I'm finna get off the phone, I'm finna go do something else different. But just a few moments ago, I was talking about the religion. I was talking about Al-Islam-based conversations. This thing that we just did, this conversation that we just had, 1 week from now, it would be a memory. Or 1 day from now, it would be a memory. And that's what Allah puts before you. From each magical moment can produce a magical memory. And you go back in time and you can remember. I can remember just like it was yesterday. And March of 2020. We were on a cruise. We got off the cruise. And the highlight of the cruise, we put COVID-19 in perspective, and we said, be thoughtful. Oh, no, be careful, I think it was, but not fearful. Yeah. So, but how did that come about? It came about because you had minds that were had their mind on Allah and what Allah does, and it came out like it was just natural, which it was. It was a natural observation that this is happening. It's temporary. It's not designed to scare the mess out of you. It's designed to get you to look at certain things after it gets your attention and gets you to looking at it long enough and seeing the consequences for not looking at it, then you do what it was, what you said you were going to do. You were careful, but not fearful. If it's time, I'm ready to go. If it's not time, I'm ready to stay. If I get well, if I get sick, I'm ready to get well, so I can build, I can submit my testimony that I survived the COVID-19. So it was a blessing in disguise. And like I said before, just a little light shined on the situation. We developed a strategy that helped to carry us through to the end. And now that it's in the state that it's in, a lot of people don't forget about it because it seemed like it was yesterday, but it was an event. And if it got your attention, you got a chance to stop and think about some things that you didn't get a chance to think about before because things were moving so fast. And now that it's over, things are about moving fast again. Very unpredictable, very unexpected events are happening as we speak because, as we mentioned before, why? Because it's time. It's time for people to know what they're doing and the consequences of doing it once you know better. Once you know better, you're supposed to do better. And once you do better, you're supposed to look forward to now, enhancing it to the point to where you're at your best. Progression that Allah is showing you that can come out of something that's negative when you do the things that are positive. The positive, not to overshadow the negative, but it gives birth because of the negative. Not in spite of, see, we used to think it's in spite of something. No, because the need was so great, it produced the performance that it did. If it was just a minor thing, it would do a little minor stuff, but it was major. And it made you and I do big enough things that we didn't do before. One of those things is working together. See, that's a bigness, putting your differences aside. Not needing and wanting to be the center of attention, the spotlight, the limelight. Come together with somebody who wants to do something together to make a potential problem get solved as human beings. And if you was a part of that, you saw that you did that, and now you look back and you have what we just got through talking about, a magical moment. But on the other side of it, you also have a magical memory. So this has been Imam Nazim Pasha at Islam-Based Conversations. We thank you again. We hope to see you again. And we conclude with that statement. So assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.